Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 8 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'll read yet one other verse. You need not turn there. Psalm 37, verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. We've heard your people sing praises back to you. Father, we've read the Word of God in hundreds, in voice, in unison, together reading. What a powerful thing that is. And yet the most powerful thing yet to come, the preaching of the Word of God. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Thank you for him. Thank you for this place. Please, may the Holy Spirit do his work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated.
It is a new year. And that means the new year holds new opportunity. Somehow, a new year gives us a new courage to try again. And I like that. I like it. I like the fact that somehow we get motivated on the new year. And I hope that today's sermon will add to that motivation. Somehow, the new year seems to draw out of us a desire for some success. So we can go do something with ourselves. In Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8, the last part of the verse says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Very obvious here that written in the Word of God, God wants us to be prosperous. God wants that for you. Have you stopped to think about the fact that God wants you to prosper as a Christian? Not only that, it says that he wants us to have good success. Now, notice, it does not just say success there. He said, "I don't want you just to have success. I want you to have good success." So God comes along and he says, "I want you to prosper. Not only do I want you to prosper, I want you to have success. But not only do I want you to have success, I want you to have good success." I believe this. I believe that today's sermon will no doubt change someone's average destiny and making it a great destiny. I don't know who you are, but there is someone that will take to heart what I'm about to say, and I believe it will totally revolutionize the rest of your life. I believe God wants to do something in all of our lives today, but I think somebody special. God is going to reach down and take an average Christian, and they're going to step up and decide to do something greater than average with their life. Please, don't miss it. God has something for you in the next few minutes. We read earlier Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The Christian life is to be a life of challenge. And, as we read from Joshua 1:8, it is a life of success. In Psalm 37, verse 23, we read, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." God is telling us that a good man follows an order or an organized path. path to success. Success just doesn't occur. It occurs on purpose. And that's what God is telling us. If we went back to Joshua 1:8, you'd find out. God says there is a way to be a successful Christian. God is telling us, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God is telling us in Psalm 37:23 that the steps of a good man are ordered. Now, you say, does that mean God commands us to take certain steps to be a success? Yes, it does. But I think God is also saying, I will give you an order in which to take steps in life, and as a result of following that order, you can succeed as a Christian. What I'm about to teach you would be something that would have been practiced by what the world would call successful people. For instance, Henry Ford of the Ford Motor Company. There's a man who was successful in regard to touching people. You know, we have some Ford buses out here. Thank God somebody created the vehicle that we use to transport people. Many of you came to church today in a Ford car or a Ford truck. Many people will ride on a Ford bus and they'll get to Sunday school. Somehow, this man named Henry Ford, something began to burn inside him one day, and as a result of it, he virtually changed our country and our world. You think of the man by the name of Howard Johnson and the hotel chains. That all started real small. Something began to burn inside a man's breast one day, and as a result of it, changing a nation. Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken. Thank God for him. Amen. What happened? I think somebody one day had a dream. I think somebody was sitting at the table one day and said, you know something, we know how to make chicken. We ought to just show the whole nation how it ought to be done. You look at Sam Walton. What happened? One man, one dream, and he changes a world. Florence Nightingale. Back when it was unheard of for a lady to be involved in nursing, she was bound and determined that she would nurse people. And the fear was a woman of reputation would not want to be around the sick because she would end up being sick herself. But she took that chance. And as a result of it, I think one of the most famous women in history, Florence Nightingale, the nurse of nurses, Douglas MacArthur. What happened inside that young man? You understand something. One day, a boy by the name of Doug was born, and he was an average, everyday kind of a kid, but somewhere along the way, something began to burn down deep inside of him. He ends up being a 5-star general and the commander of the World War II Allied forces, leading us to a great victory. Now, let me tell you something. Every person that I've mentioned thus far, they started out just like you, just like me. Average everyday folks that got up in the morning and had some breakfast and went out about their duties. But somewhere along the way, something happened inside them that caused them to rise above the norm, that caused them to want to do more, that caused them to want to influence and change the world. You take George Washington Carver, I think one of the greatest black men in history. When the South was economically destitute after the Civil War, they had no money. They really didn't feel like they had much future. A black man, which in that part of America, it was unheard of, he went before Congress and he showed Congress how that they could produce 145 different products off of the lowly peanut. And after that man showed Congress what could be done with the peanut, they began to use it to rebuild the South after the destruction that was there after the war. What happened? A young black man got a little something inside him that said, I want to do more. I don't want to be average. I want to go further. I want to influence. I want to make a difference. Born on a farm in Massachusetts was a young man. He had a dream. At the age of 15, he obtained his father's permission to accept a job as a store clerk. But it only lasted 2 weeks because he didn't seem to have a knack for running the store. The store owner told that boy's father, quote, that boy of yours means well, but he'll never learn to keep a store in 1,000 years. But a dream was burning inside the heart of that young 15-year-old boy. At the age of 16, he got a job in a dry goods store. It lasted 5 years, And it ended. But though the job ended, the dream inside that boy did not end. He started himself a little notebook. He would pull that notebook out and he would keep notes. He would write bits of information when salesmen would come by and customers would make suggestions about what ought to be and what ought not to be in the retail business. He ended up getting this little job. It lasted for a while. Then he quit and he moved to Chicago. He got a job as a clerk there, still having a dream burn down deep inside of him. He became a traveling salesman. Everywhere he went, he would travel across the country by train, by horseback, in the winter by sleigh. He'd pull out a little notebook, and he would write down the ideas of the other salespeople. He'd write down the ideas of the customers. It wasn't long until he was promoted to become the general manager of that company. Then he borrowed some money, and he became half partner to that business. 15 years later, he bought out his partner. Now he owns the entire business. He kept on using that little idea book. He would write down a little idea here and a little idea there. Kept on listening to the customer. Kept on listening to the salespeople. Kept on listening to the retailers and wrote in his little book, down inside him, burn a dream. He wanted to do something with himself. He didn't want to be average. He just didn't want to wake up in the morning to look forward to nothing but going to bed at night. He wanted to make a difference in this world. He was the first ever to make an attractive window display. This farm boy, who failed at being a clerk, did not fail at becoming the founder of the world-famous retail store and publishing empire. His name was Marshall Fields. What would he have done had you been the guy that said, that boy of yours means well, but he'll never in 1,000 years learn how to keep store? Wouldn't it be embarrassing to have made that statement about the man that had a dream as a 15-year-old boy and every failure in life would not stop him, and he built the famous empire of Marshall Fields? What about you? What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do? Are you going to wake up in the morning and eat breakfast and work all day and go to sleep at night and live your entire life just eating and sleeping? That's what cattle do. That's what animals do. Oh no, my friend, you were created for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. Every human being that's in this building today, let me as your pastor challenge you to make something out of your life. Be a success with your life. As Joshua 1:8 said, let's be a success and let's be a good success. Let's show the world the prosperity of Christianity. I entitled my sermon this morning, Success Comes in Steps. Success comes in steps. Let me give you what I think those great people that I mentioned earlier, people that changed the world, let me give you the steps that I'm sure that they must have followed to achieve the success and the prosperity that they achieved. Let me say, first of all, and Brother Brett, I'm going to turn this microphone on if I can. Let me say, first of all, if you're going to be a success, my friend, you're going to have to learn to dream a little bit. You're going to need to learn to dream. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, let me tell you something. That verse there is telling us you need to dream a little bit. You need to get an idea about what could happen. You know, you take a pastor. He gets a vision for people. And if he does not, the people will perish. Their lives will perish. Their potential will perish. Their success will perish. But some of you need to have a dream. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a dream? Or are you just letting life happen to you? Let me ask those of you sitting in the balcony this morning, do you have a dream for your life? Or you just wake up in the morning and eat your food and go to sleep at night? I want you to have a dream. I want some of you to wake up from your slumber in life today and get yourself a dream. Every truly successful person discovered what God wanted them to do and they started dreaming about what God wanted for them. I look back on my ministry and what little success. Now, I may not be a great man. I don't think that. But I've been around greatness and I've been around great men. So I know what it takes to achieve it. I remember at the beginning of my ministry, I went to a fundamental Baptist church. I've been saved and baptized in. And I went and visited a church. And at that church, they had a bus. And they would go out and pick up boys and girls and bring them to church. I went back to my home church. They didn't have one of those buses running. I went to my pastor. I was just a kid. I was 16 years old. And I went to my pastor, and something had started down inside me. I started thinking, what would happen if we got one of those buses running at our little church? And I went to the pastor, and I said, you know something? I'd like us to get a school bus and use it and start picking up little boys and girls. And there I was, just a 16-year-old kid. But I decided that I wanted to try to reach a bunch of people. I started dreaming about it. And I can tell you this, not a year later, I got a bus route. I was a 16-year-old bus captain going out through the community, picking up little boys and girls. And in the next couple of years, we would average 60, 70, and 80 riders on that one little bus route. What happened? Where did that all start? Just a 16-year-old kid dreaming about doing something for God. I ended up becoming the youth director at that little church. Again, I was a teenage lad. I was a teenager, and I was a youth pastor. But you know something? I started dreaming. What could happen? What would happen if I started reaching all my friends and started bringing them to church? I did not have the privilege of going to the Christian school. I went to the public school. And at that time in my life, it became a mission field. I would go to school every day, all day long. I would witness and tell people about Christ. I'd bring them back out to my church. I was just a teenage kid. But I had been made the youth pastor, and our church began to grow. And our youth department began to grow. And it wasn't long. We were running 20 teenagers, and then 30 teenagers, and then 40 teenagers, and then 50 teenagers, and then 60 teenagers, and then 70 teenagers, and then 80 teenagers. I was a teenage boy that down inside my heart, a dream began to burn. And that old dream ended up producing something, but I'll tell you this, I had a dream. I had a dream. I remember I got to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, and became an assistant pastor there. The pastor said, I would like for you to oversee a ministry called the Bible Club Ministry. It was a ministry that was an alternative to the public school kids in regard to the gangs. And when I took that ministry over, there was a handful of about 20 workers. And I began to dream. I began to think, what would happen if God would get a hold of this thing? What would happen if we went all over the Chicagoland area and we started reaching young people at their different public schools? What could God do? And that dream began to burn down inside my soul. And before long, we had 30 workers and then 40 workers. I'm not talking about teenagers now. I'm talking about the number of workers going out. And then 50 and 60 and then 100 and then 200 and then 300 and then 400 workers. And we're reaching thousands of young people, 5,000 a year walking the aisle, getting born again, getting baptized in the church. Where did it start? A dream. A dream. I worked in the bus ministry, and I wanted to have some bus routes, but you know something? We were going, in that time, we were going to every poor area we could find. But I said, you know, I really want to be involved in the bus ministry, and I really want to influence people by bringing them to church on buses. But the only thing was, all the poor areas were taken up. And then one day I thought, you know, what would happen? What would happen if you tried to start bus ministry in the average middle class area? What would happen if you did that? And I went to the pastor. I said, I got a little dream. I'd like to reach out and go out and pick people up in the homes where moms and dads live, in the homes where you go and you knock on the door, but the door's not falling off the hinges. I began to dream, and we established a thing called the e-bus ministry. We got one route, and then another, and then another, and another, and another. I think the last count before I left, there were 12 routes, and there were about 150 workers all there. Why? How did it start? What happened? A dream. It started as a dream. I remember I started a Sunday school class. It was for young married people. It was called the Sweetheart Couples class. I started with an empty room, about 12, 14 foot square. Nobody there at all. But I started to dream. What would happen if I could start reaching out to young married families? What would happen? What could God do? And I began to dream. And I would dream, and I would dream, and I would dream. And on our first Sunday, we had 14 people that came to our little old Sunday school class. But I remember, after year, after year, after year, that dream continued down inside my heart, down inside my soul. It wasn't long until we were running 300. And then a couple years later, we were running 400 people. We had
at a high day of 518. I'm not talking about in a church. I'm talking about in one adult Sunday school class. I had a dream. I wanted God to do something. You have a dream? What do you do with your life? I don't understand people. I don't understand people. They're born and they live their life and they go to the grave having not accomplished what God put them here to do. And I'm not talking about preachers now. I'm talking about human beings that God is their Savior. They've trusted Christ. Now what are you doing with your life? You have a dream? You have a dream about anything? You need to get a dream. I remember I'd preached a sermon. It's a simple sermon. It was about music. Then I preached another sermon about music, and before I knew it, I preached about 12 sermons about music in a row. Somebody came to me and said, we'd like to get copies of all those. I never thought about anything like that before. You know, packaging these things up and 12 sermons and making them available to the public. But I said, okay, I'll get you a copy of them all, and that's what I did. I gave one person a copy of 12 sermons on music. We packaged them in a nice little plastic case. I thought, okay, that's over with. A lot of work for nothing there, but I got it for them. Somebody found out that I had made those 12 copies, and they said, we want to get a copy of that. And then somebody else said, we want to get a copy of that. Somebody else said, we want to get a copy of that. I thought, oh, no. What in the world's going on here? So I asked everybody, I said, all right, everybody at one time, if you want a copy of that little series I taught on music, you tell me, we'll write it down, we'll get it for you, it'll be over with. Well, about 30 or 40 people said, we want that. Well, next time I preach something, and somebody said, I want a copy of that. Can I get a copy of that? Little did I know what was happening is there was something being born. It was a thing called Owens Publications. Somebody wanted a copy of this and wanted a copy of that. Last year, I think there were about 18,000 preaching tapes that were distributed through Owens Publications. You say, where did that start, Brother Owens? Maybe down inside of a young man's heart where he dreamed of helping people. That's all. Just a dream. You take our church here, the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you that I have a dream for this church? Hey, when you called me here to be your pastor, you, I don't know what you were expecting to get. If you were expecting to get some intelligent fella, I'm sorry, you got cheated. If you were expecting to get some guy that was, I'm not a caviar kind of a guy. I'm meat and potatoes. You're stuck with me. If you thought you were going to get some guy that could run around with the big wigs in town, the big wigs in town ain't going to want to be around me because I slurp my soup when I eat it. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'll tell you one thing, though. I'll tell you one thing about me. If you hired me and you were looking for someone that had a dream, you got your money's worth. I have a dream. I have a dream for the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I have a dream. I was thinking of Brother John Kidwell. Brother John and I were out soul winning one night, and he started telling me about his dream for what this church is going to do in the next few years. And John's crazy, man. I don't like his dream. His dream scares me. But oh my goodness, do you have a dream? You see, if you want to do something great with your life, you need to get a vision. You need to get yourself a dream. You know what I want? I want to get everything out of God that He has for me. Everything. Everything. And you know something? For you lazy scoundrels that have no dream, I'd like to capitalize on some of the dream that you could have had. If you'll pump it my way, I'll take some of your blessing too. A dream. You want to succeed? Dream. Get you a dream. Do you want to be successful? Some of you young people, don't you be satisfied with a humdrum, dead life. You can't play computer games the rest of your life, young people. Get a dream inside you. You don't have to be 19, 20. You don't have to be 25 to have a dream about what God could do with your life. I've seen many a young man at 13 and 14 years of age, suddenly God starts a fire down inside them. Something begins to happen, and a dream is ignited. And I'm seeing those dreams come true. I was only a 16-year-old boy when I was called to preach. But I'll tell you something. I got a dream when I was 16. I had a dream. Some of you need to get a dream. What do you want to be? What do you want to be? Where do you want to go? What do you want to accomplish? Picture yourself succeeding. You say, I'm going to pastor a church someday. Then picture it. I'm going to be a successful bus captain someday. Then picture it. I'm going to be a missionary someday. Well, picture it. Dream it. My business is going to flourish and I'm going to be a blessing to God's work. Then you need to get a picture of it and dream and look out there on the horizon and see it taking place. Somebody here needs to dream about your Sunday school class. Dream about the ministry God has for you. You need to dream for your family. Hey, you say, I'm going to be a doctor. I don't have any problem with somebody being a doctor. I think doing things to help people can be a wonderful thing. But if you're going to succeed, there's nobody going to make it all the way through medical school unless they get a dream and they set their sights on it. It's harder work than just playing games with your life. I'm going to be a lawyer. Well, you picture yourself being a lawyer. Get a dream. Do something with your life. Be something. Don't just wake up, eat your breakfast, walk around all day long, and go to bed at night. That is not why God created you. Make something happen in your life. And it starts with a dream. Not only do you need a dream, you're going to have some desire then. Anybody can dream. You can dream from having anchovies on your pizza. After you dream, you need a desire. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19, it says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. You know, if you dream enough, desire will ignite. If you dream enough, desire will come. Desire, I looked the word desire up from Proverbs 13, 19, a Hebrew word, tahava. It means a longing. It means a lust for right and good. An exceedingly great passion. It's like the starting of the fire of a good lust. You see, if you begin to dream, God can then ignite desire. It's almost as if the dream is the firewood. But now we've got to light a match, and we light the match to the firewood, and that match is a thing called desire. You've got to desire something. You dream, and you figure out what God wants, and then you begin to desire what God wants. You've got to want it. You've got to want it. What do you want? What do you really want? I remember when I was training my boys on athletics. They'd go to wrestle. In our Christian school, they had wrestling, and they'd go to wrestle. And one of my boys might say, Dad, this guy's bigger than me. He's stronger than me. And this is what I taught my boys. I said, it doesn't matter how big he is. I really believe it's whoever wants it most. I said, you hit the mat, you hit him hard, you hit him fast, you take him down so quick he's not going to know what hit him, and he's going to figure out. You plan to win. You plan to win. Say, but what if they're bigger than me? You and God make a majority, my friend. And some of you, what you need to do is get some desire down inside you. I'll tell you something I believe. You take most NFL football teams, and you take most people from the NBA, most teams are pretty evenly matched when you get right down to it. I'll tell you where they're not evenly matched. Some teams have some desire, and other teams don't. It takes desire. You say, but they've got this extra special tough guy on their team. And let me tell you what makes him extra special tough. Most of the time, it's a thing called desire. He has desire. I don't need talent. I need desire. I need somebody that's got some desire. I can take someone that's untalented and I can teach them if they have the desire to get the talent. Talent doesn't impress me. Really doesn't impress me much. Some want it. And some don't. Some want it, and some want it bad. Let me ask you a question. What do you want? How bad do you want it? America's become fat and sassy and lazy, and if it's not handed to us, if you can't get it by getting up at 8 o'clock in the morning and getting off at 4, you don't want it. Brother Paul, nobody's ever built a great business by working 6 or 7 hours a day. Nobody's ever succeeded by doing that. If you want it, you start dreaming about it. And then you get a desire down inside your soul. Ignite yourself and decide to do something. How bad do you want it? Let me ask you a question. Everybody building a Sunday school class around here. How bad do you want it? Well, I just can't do it. Give it to me. I'll build it for you. And in about a year, you'll say, I guess it could have been done. You say, you're cocky. I have desire. I have desire. I have desire. How bad do you want to build that bus route? People keep saying to me, Brother Hunt, you going to start a Bible college around here? I can't until I get enough people that have fire in their soul to help train young college students. How are you going to teach a bunch of young bucks to go out and build bus routes when the bus captain will only visit their route for an hour a week? They don't want to show up at the meeting. How in the world can you be an example to young people that need to be trained? You got to train them how to have desire. They need the example of desire. Desire, that's fire, making something happen. You got a business? You got any desire? There's nothing wrong with being a businessman. A bunch of you young men around here, you're starting businesses, and I'm glad for you. Dr. Russell Anderson was just here and challenged our businessmen. Let me tell you something. Don't you flop. You get you some desire. You got you a dream now. You get you some desire. You get out there and you go make something happen. In the United States of America today, anyone that will practice some good old-fashioned Bible principles and some good old-fashioned sweat and blood could build a business, and a big one, if they had desire. If you think, well, this will be easy, it's the easy crowd that's a part of the failing crowd. You get a desire about your family. Somebody said, we're having family struggles. And you get a burning passion down inside you. You get you a dream of what you want your family to be like. You get some desire down inside you. Get some fire burning. Get on fire with desire. If your dream is to be a doctor or a lawyer or a preacher or a businessman or whatever it is, get some desire about you. Let it burn within you. Something burning inside you. You young men, 17, 18, 19 years of age, the only thing burning inside you, a desire to play your computer games. And this isn't a sermon against computer games, but it's no wonder we have so many flopping young men because they want to play their life away. Play, 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 play. It's time for some people to grow up and become a part of this productive world and do something for God. Oh, what do we need? A dream. You dream about what God would have for you. God places a dream in your heart about what He would want you to do, and then you have to begin to desire it. But that's not it. Then there's a decision that must be made. I dream. I desire. And then a decision comes. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 6, it says, so built we the wall. And all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Here's the story. It was time for the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. But there were enemies that would oppose the rebuilding of this wall. The people got together and said, we are going to build something here. We've got to build this wall. But wait, there's opposition coming. And they said, but we're going to build whether there's opposition or not. And so they got a trowel. That was the thing that they would use to spread the cement. They got a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. And the Bible said they had a mind to work. They said, we're going to do this. There was a day of decision that meant the rebuilding of that wall. People today, especially men, are not men of decision. We fear decision making. So you know, one of the secrets to success is making decisions. It's time for some of you to stop cowering behind your fear of failure and come on out and do something with your life. You're going to have to make a decision. And I'm not talking about going off half-cocked. You make sure it's the will of God. You know, some people in here, they get too full of energy and they just want to run off and go waste their life by thinking it was their job to conquer the world when what they really needed to do was slow down a little bit. Now, there's some like that. That's not my biggest problem. My biggest problem is a bunch of lazy-minded Christian people that would be satisfied with getting up in the morning, eating all day, going to bed at night, waking up the next day, and doing it week in and week out and week in and week out and not getting a glimpse of the dream that God has for you. But it's going to take some decision. Start in the direction of your dream. Start in the direction of your desire. How long is it going to take you? How long is it going to be before you decide you're going to get involved and you're going to do something with your life? You can't wait forever. Get involved here at the church. Well, you know what, brother, I'm going to keep an eye on you. Well, you know, I'm going to make sure, you know, whether I should commit myself. You're lazy and you know it. If you haven't figured out what I believe or where we're going by now, you're blind or you sleep during all the church services. Open your eyes and get involved. Don't procrastinate your success anymore. Everywhere I go, you can't find men that can make decisions. You can't find men that will just stand up and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is how it's going to be done. Now here I go. It's time for some of you to learn to make some decisions and not be afraid and not to cower at the responsibility of making decisions about your family. Decide to do right. Some of you just need to decide today, you know what, Brother Owens? I dreamed about what kind of family I want. I desire that kind of family. Today, I'm making the decision. I'm jumping in. Decide to change your life. Everybody here has just as much ability to change their life as anybody else here. Let me tell you the big difference. Decision. Decision. Because anybody here that would choose to do so could say, today I decide to sell out to God. I'm going to stop being a happy and half out Christian. Today I've decided I'm making the decision. I'll show up. I'll put up. I'll make something happen. It's decision. Some of you need to decide not to be average. Not to be average. Decide to change your humdrum ways to fit God's fiery and above average ways. I don't understand people that want to float through life. You know, not for the sake of competitiveness. Let me tell you something. I want to be everything that I can be as a pastor. Everything. I want to learn to love to the greatest extreme. I want to learn when I do a funeral service, I want it to be special. I don't want it to be humdrum out of somebody's book. When I do a wedding, I want it to be special. When I stand and preach, I want it to be special. When we have an activity, I want it to be special. I made a decision a long time ago. I don't want to be average. Let me ask you, you ever make that decision? When I was an assistant pastor, I decided I did not want to be like all the other assistant pastors. I want to give my all. I want to do everything I could. I want to accomplish everything I could. I was not going to hide. I was not going to cower behind failure and the fear of it. I wanted to do something. Do you want success? Or is this too much energy all bundled up into 35 minutes for you? You get you a dream. You dream enough, that desire will kick in and a fire will ignite. And then there's a decision that must be made. Will I dream or will I wake up from my dream and go make something happen with my life? Decide to change your humdrum ways to God's exciting and productive ways. Then you're going to have to dare. You're going to have to dare. Hebrews 11:7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah built an ark, but there was faith involved. Why? Because there was fear involved. There's some of you who say, Brother Owens, if I stepped out, I would be afraid. That's why you step out by faith. You got to step out by faith. There's a little bit of a dare involved. Noah built by faith. Some of you, you need to get out on a limb so there's no way back in. Some of you need to burn your bridges behind you and quit playing Christianity. Get in and get involved. You say, but if I step out, there's a chance I could stumble and fall. There's a chance of that for all of us. But you're never going to be all you could be for Jesus Christ unless you dare and you step out and you take a chance. Burn your bridges behind you. Some of you need to learn to practice a little spiritual reckless abandonment. Just jump out and take a chance. Just jump out and say, let's just see what God can do. When I started that ministry called the E-Bus Ministry, that was the bus ministry that went to, we were going to $250,000, $300,000 homes visiting, trying to get them on the bus route. You couldn't offer them a hot dog and say, well, if you come, we'll give you a hot dog. They'll say, well, here, let us buy you a case of them. Hey, we'll give you some bubble gum if you come. Nope, nope. People said to me, it won't work. It's not going to happen. You can't. Well, I've got news for them. It did work. It can happen. And it is doable. Well, I had to take a chance. I stepped out to do what others said. You can't do that. You can't do that. But God can. It's called faith. I wrote my book called Character. You know something? I've never written a book before. I didn't know anything about writing a book. I wrote that book and it was time to publish it. And I said, wait a minute. I read it and I said, that's stupid. I can't do this. I can't publish a book. I've never written a book. I don't know anything about publishing a book. What in the world am I doing? And the devil, you know, the little red-suited guy was on my shoulder saying, you can't do it. It's not going to work. You can't do it. You're taking a chance. You're going to spend $5,000 to publish a book. You're not an author. Nobody knows you. Nobody's ever heard of you. It will not work. And something inside me said, all right, I have a dream. I want to help people. I have a desire at burns within me. You know what I'm going to have to do? I think I'm making the decision. I'm stepping out, and I printed the book. I think it's in its sixth printing. It's going all around the world. You have been purchased tens and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50,000 copies. They're everywhere. What happened? There was a dare. I had to take a chance. Hey, when I came to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, there was a real big dare involved. I was offered the presidency of Hiles Anderson College. I had it made at the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. Had everything a man could ever want. But there was a problem. When I was a boy, there was a dream. And that dream was that one day God would use me to pastor a group of people. And all of a sudden, that dream brought desire, and that desire brought a time of decision. Then I had to step out and take a dare. When you've heard me say it before. When I took this church, people said this to me, what are you doing? Where is Martinsburg, West Virginia? Nobody ever heard of it. Is this a church that's running 1,000 people, Brother Owens? No. 900? No. 8? No. 7? No. They have a college? No. Do they have it? No. Do they? No. Are they? Well, no. What are you doing? It was time for the dare. Someone said to me, you understand, young man, that the average man stops building his church at the age of 40. And he lives off of what he built for the rest of his life. You are 41 years old. You're going to go out and jumpstart something and get it going? That's highly unlikely. Well, I've got news for you. Faith is highly unlikely. It took a dare. There, people thought I was nuts. West Virginia? Us in Kentucky, we get the butt of all the jokes. Everywhere I go, I say, folks, you're not going to believe it. I found a part of West Virginia where the women have teeth. You're not going to believe it. We don't ride tractors to church. Hey, we even wear our shoes. Guy said to me, I'm the cocky preacher. He said, well, how's it going there with your hillbillies? I said, it's going all right. He said, yeah. He said, you're out there hiding in the woods where you don't have to do anything. I said, how's it going in your church? My offering last week was $45,000. How's it going at your church? He said, well, I got me some pretty rich hillbillies. But it took a dare. It took a dare. Dare to do something, bus captain. Dare to do something, Sunday school teacher. Dare to step up. Now, some of you young people went off to Bible college. Don't you be putting your tail between your legs and running home. You do what God's called you to do. Say, well, it's hard. Well, we wouldn't want you to do anything hard, would we? Sure, it takes a dare. Sure, it takes some courage. Get some intestinal fortitude. You say, what's that mean? Guts. Get you some guts, some grit, and some gall. Get out there and do something with yourself. Risk failure. I go around, and everywhere I go, I've got men that are scared to death to fail. Scared to death. Don't want to step out. Risk failure. Risk embarrassment. I would rather try something great and fail than try nothing and succeed. Cows eat all day and then sleep when they're tired. Something anybody can do. Oh, but once you take the dare, it's going to take some dedication. Ecclesiastes 9:10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You see, a dedication is necessary to the fulfillment of the task. I've noticed something. The harder I work, the luckier I get. You see, there are a bunch of you. You're with me right now because so far all we've talked about is what happens in your head. Oh, yeah, come on, brother. That sounds good. Let's do it. Oh, dream, dream, dream. Oh, we could desire. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But to this point, you haven't done anything. You're sitting there saying, oh, this is good. Oh, this is good. Now you're going to have to go to work. That's where I'm going to lose about half the crowd. You ever heard someone say, I'll do it or I will die trying? It's what some of you need to get. Need to get you some grit in your crawl. I will do it or I will die trying. Is there anything that important to you? What? Is there anything you're doing for God that is so important you said, I will do it or I will die trying? Some of you just need that for Sunday night church. Oh, I will show up or I'll die trying. Maybe Wednesday night church wouldn't hurt you. You're not going to go do something great for God if you can't even show up to get the instructions. I'm so tired of mamby-pamby preachers and Christians. It's pathetic. Don't let anything stop you. Stop making up excuses for all your failures and start looking for solutions. He said, I can hardly take this, Brother Owens. Well, maybe you could go home and take a pill to calm yourself down after church this morning. Make no provision for failure. Someone said this to me. Brother Davis, you're going like this. They said, you impress me as the kind that would be a poor loser. You know what I said? I don't know. I never tried it. If I got to get up earlier, I will. If I've got to stay up later, I will. If it means sweat a little bit more, I will. Hey, and if you ever see me knocked down, don't get in the road because I'm probably not knocked out. I plan to get back up. You say, well, you're just arrogant. I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you need to get something down inside you. Don't be lazy. Don't lay back. Don't watch everybody else cause something to happen around you. Make something happen. I was asked the question, Brother Walker, well, so what's the secret of Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Guy took out a card, was going to write it all down. He said, how is it that a church has grown to that magnitude? A little over 200 people all the way up to running 800 people. How? What happened in the last 2.5 years? I said, okay, write this down. W. He wrote a W. I said, O. He wrote the O. I said, R. He wrote the R. I said, K. Underline it twice. Work. 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 The thing that America doesn't want to do. Work. Russell Anderson says you earn a living from 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then you turn around. If you want to be a success, you work from 5 to 9. Whether that means with your family at the church, it just means you don't waste your whole day. Who told you you had to watch 3 hours of TV at night? That's why you want to wake up in the morning, eat your grub all day long, go to bed at night. That's your plan for life. That's why you're bored. That's why you're depressed. That's why your family's not working out. Everybody's lazy. Everybody wants to just lay around and do nothing. It's the American way, and the American way is a failing way today. Better get you some direction. Isaiah chapter 45, it says, I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. Don't get sidetracked. Stay on the job. You're going to face some hardships. Keep your direction. Keep going in that direction that you've been dreaming. You may face some heartaches. Stay with your direction. You may face some self-caused distractions. You may sin, get off track a little bit. The minute you notice it, get back on track and head toward that direction. Keep your focus. You know something? When I was growing up, one of the good things about athletics is this. When I was growing up, if I got hurt, I don't care what every mother in the place says. I don't care. When I got hurt, I played hurt. You want to know why? Because now as a married man and as a daddy, my family and the people around me need me to play when it hurts. I can't go home and nurse my boo-boo. For some of you adults, you men and women in this building, life has not turned out the way you thought it would, so you're nursing your boo-boo. You lay around licking your wounds all the time, feeling sorry for yourself, whining around saying, well, life's just been bad to me. Well, if life's been bad, rise up, get a dream, get some desire, and overcome it. You know, you just got to keep your direction. I remember a great preacher saying, let me tell you something. If I were driving from where I am here in West Virginia to California, and I took off in the car, if I ran out of gas and I ran out of money halfway there, I would not sit by the roadside and wait for somebody to come by and take care of me. First day after running out of gas and running out of money, I'd wake up next morning and I'd push my car 100 yards toward California. I'd push until I didn't have any energy. Next day, I'd build up the energy again. I'd push my car another 100 yards. He said, I don't know how long it would take me. I would get to California, even if I had to do it the hard way, and push and grunt and shove and sweat and toil all the way. Rise up, Christian. Rise up above your petty excuses. Rise up above your past. Rise up and do something with yourself. Get away from your fears and your petty excuses. Hey, and don't let something else stop you from what God wants you to do. Then finally, it's going to take some devotion. Psalm 145, verse 19, it says, He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. Now, this is where we differ from the world. Most people in the world, you could take the sermon I just preached and give it to some executive that's not even born again. He'd say, boy, I like that. I like what that guy said. Here's the difference, though. You're to succeed for Jesus Christ, not for yourself. You're to succeed for the cause of Christ. If He gives you success, you stay devoted to Him. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Some of you young businessmen, you listen to me. We'll pump you full of energy, motivation, success tools. But don't you forget where you got it. I've seen it happen time and time again. Some young buck will come along and a man of God will pump him full of the power of God and the principles of God. He'll go out and become a success. Then he forgets about God. He gets too big for God. He thinks he built that business. You listen to me. Every person in this building, if you have any business of any sort and you're a born-again Christian, God gave it to you. And you better not be misusing it. Better not abuse it. Don't you let the business that God gave you use it as an excuse to keep you away from serving God, away from church, away from... And some of you owe it to God to make sure you're faithful to Him financially. See, the difference between us and the world is the world likes my first 6 points, but they'd not like us to include the seventh. It is God that will give you that success. It is God that gives us these principles. Remember where your dream came from. Succeed for God. If you become a doctor, then you show up at church. If you become a lawyer, then you show up at church and you be decent and honest. Yeah. You know what you need? Some of you need some success. I wouldn't want to bent that businessman who said of Marshall Fields, that boy of yours means well, but he'll never learn to keep store in 1,000 years. You know what you need to do? Somebody in here needs to get a dream. See, but I'm too old. Nobody's too old to get a dream. You remember this, as long as you're sucking air, God has a plan for you. Need to get you a dream. Some desire. Make a decision about it. Dare. Then dedicate yourself. Stay with the right direction. And keep yourself devoted to God. And then you can prosper and have good success. J.V. Ellswick, come up here for a second. Come on, J.V. This young man, I think, one of the finest graduates of Martinsburg Christian Academy. Let me tell you something, J.V. You get you a dream. Dream. The sky's the limit. You got a real big God out there, J.V. You begin to dream, and then you'll feel something start burning down inside you. That's something called desire. When that desire comes, you make a decision one day. You say, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what God has told me to do. And then you're going to have to dare a little bit. You're going to have to step out. Yeah, you're going to have to leave the comfort of home in West Virginia to go get you some training. Go up there near Chicago where the crazy people live. Then you're going to have to stay on track. You stay dedicated to the cause. You know what, JD, a young man like you, hard worker, got a good level head on your shoulders. What's going to happen? Somebody's going to come along and offer you a bunch of money, run their business someday, their corporation. But you got a dream, see? You got a dream God gave you. You got a desire. You made a decision. Now you've made the dare. Now you got to stay. You got to keep your direction. You got to keep doing what God called you to do. And you got to make sure that you're devoted to Jesus Christ. Keep it going. Don't let anything get you off track. And the sky's the limit to what God will do for you. You can have prosperity. You can have success. But wait, you can have good success. Thank you, JV. I wish I had time to bring every one of you up here. Every one of you. Every one. Who are you? Look at me. Look right at me for a minute. Some of you don't want to do that, do you? Look at me. You. This sermon was for you. It was for you. You say, I'm just a visitor today. It's for you. You say, but Brother Owens, I'm only 9 years old. It's for you, young man. It's for you. You say, but I'm a senior citizen. It's for you. It's for you and for you and for you and for you and for you. It's for you and for you and for you. It's for every one of you. Every choir member. Every person that hears this sermon. The God of the universe is reaching down and saying, let's be successful. And I've told you how today. Every head bowed, every eye closed.